the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. To think that God would make his name known in a city that he chose, a place that he chose to live among his people, to bless his people, to tell his people how much he loved them, but also a place where his son, his only begotten son, would give his life for you and for me, establishing his name for all of eternity. What else can we say, brothers and sisters? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That already in the time of Moses, God had chosen a place where he would establish his name. A place where he wanted to relate to his children, the children of Israel. And I know you guys are super excited about studying the book of Deuteronomy. Amen? Not really. But I think it's an important book for all of us to study. I believe it has a message for us who are also on the border of the promised land. Amen? There's a message there that tells us to trust God, to keep his commandments, to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. It's a basic message, amen? Don't let the things of this world distract you. By the way, there are many. Jesus invites us in his word to trust him, to keep his commandments, to follow in the way. And praise the Lord that Jesus is the way. Yes? Amen. He's the truth and he is life. We will not be disappointed. This past weekend, I had the opportunity of going to a prayer conference in Northern California. Brother James Hun, who's an elder here at our church, he's the main organizer of this event with many other helpers. And it was for me a privilege, an honor to be able to participate and to see our brothers and sisters from Korea, from Japan, flying all the way from there, 12 hours, brothers and sisters. Because they believe in the power of prayer. And if there's a time to be praying, do you think it's today? Yes. Do we have to wait for a hurricane to come to the Pacific coast or for a big earthquake to happen to start praying? We don't have to wait till that moment. In fact, God invites us today to pray, to bring before him our needs, to bring before him our joys, to bring before him all that matters to us. And if it's family, praise the Lord. Amen? And if it's work, praise the Lord. We can bring everything to God. And if it's a home, praise the Lord. Yes? A house, we can bring everything to God. And he promises to answer in such a way that it will not only benefit us, but it will benefit all those around us. That's the God we serve. And so I praise God that I had the opportunity to be in Mount Hermon. That's where this conference took place. And I'm going to ask Brother James Hahn and some of those of our members who were able to go to this prayer conference in a few weeks, maybe to have a little testimony here before the church and share our experience as to what God can do when God's people pray. Do we believe in prayer? Amen. Amen. We believe in prayer. And so that is something that is close to our hearts. We've been looking at the news, and some of you might have family in the southern part of Mexico. Some of you might have family in Puerto Rico. Some of you might have family in the Caribbean islands. And our prayers have been going up constantly as we see what our eyes are seeing, things that we never thought 80-some years that not one hurricane of that type had hit Puerto Rico. And now the only thing we know is that nobody can communicate with them. There's no cell phones. They have no electricity. And they believe that's going to happen at least a month. No electricity. We know there are deaths as well. People have died. And our hearts go out to them. And I know that God has a plan, brothers and sisters. He has a plan, and we don't always understand why these things happen, but He has a plan. My aunt Loida lives in Oaxaca, Mexico. And she experienced her probably first and only 8.1. Yes? She said it was scary to see everything inside the house move and fall on the ground. And we have brothers and sisters in Ixtaltepec as well that they saw their homes become pancakes. We have 4 members of the Adventist Church in Ixtaltepec who passed away in the first big earthquake, the 8.1. Right now, one of the hardest hit areas in Mexico City, where there was a 7.1, is La Colonia Narvarte. And that is a place where we have our conference office for Mexico City is there. Our union office is there. And we have a large church there as well. And it's one of the hardest hit places there in Mexico City. So we have lots to pray for. Amen? And we can just lift up our brothers and sisters, the people in these countries, in their moment of need. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that we have now the greatest opportunity to witness what Jesus has done in our life. We don't have to go to Mexico. We don't have to go to Puerto Rico. Can we witness right here? Are there needs around us? There are needs around us. And I have a few quotes that I would like to share with you at this moment. I don't think I brought my clicker. So, the church's need. While the world needs sympathy, while it needs the prayers and assistance of God's people, while it needs to see Christ in the lives of His followers, that's something that the world needs, amen? Prayers, sympathy, the life of Christ in His followers. The people of God are equally in need of opportunities that draw out their sympathies, give efficiency to their prayers, and develop in them a character like that of the divine pattern. When Jesus saw a need, did He care? Yes. When He saw a blind man, did He just go, well, too bad? Or would He stop? And the disciples might have thought, Jesus, we need to get to this place right now. But Jesus would say, hey, let's stop here. Let's help this need. And I believe, brothers and sisters, if we just look around closely, we can hear maybe even the sobbing noises of a neighbor. Yes? We can hear the pain, the struggle that some of the people we know that are close to us are going through. And these are times where we as a church can pray for one another. How many of the parents who are here need prayer? Can I see the hands of parents who need prayer? How many of the children here need prayer? Can I see the hands of the children that need prayer? Amen. And it's here. It's right in our own congregation. And we have this great opportunity to pray. I'm going to go to the next slide. In placing among us the poor and the suffering, the Lord is testing us to reveal to us what is in our hearts. We cannot with safety swerve from principle. We cannot violate justice. We cannot neglect mercy. When we see a brother falling into decay, we are not to pass him by on the other side, but are to make decided and immediate efforts to fulfill the word of God by helping him. Is it easy to help someone? I know a few people here in this congregation who it's easy to help. They love to serve. They love to help. And I'm amazed to hear what they are doing for other people. People they don't know or people they've just gotten to know. But for some of us, like myself, it's hard. It's not easy. Especially when you hear someone tell you, I need this money for a bus ticket. Yes? And then you see him walking out of the 7-Eleven with something in his hands. Yes? And you go, how did I get duped? And then the test comes again. A week later. And this time it's someone in his car saying, I need gas. That's all I'm needing. And what happens to our heart? Is it soft or hard? It's hard. But praise God for his Holy Spirit, yes? That acts and then says, okay, do you know where that gas station is? Meet me there. And praise the Lord in the way that he works. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? And what an opportunity do we have today in our times to help those who are around us. I'm going to go to the next slide really quick. Thank you. The culture of the mind and heart is more easily accomplished. Listen to this. The culture of the mind and heart is more easily accomplished. Cultivating our hearts and minds, transforming them. When we feel such tender sympathy for others that we bestow our benefits and privileges to relieve their necessities. Getting and holding all that we can for ourselves tends to poverty of soul. But all the attributes of Christ await the reception of those who will do the very work that God has appointed them to do, working in Christian lines. When God gave Moses these commandments, he gave Moses these commandments because he wanted to put in his people his love. Amen? He wanted his people to think differently, to act differently, to see differently. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, we find in verse 1, these are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. God was very specific, very clear as to what he wanted to see his children do. And if we go to verse 8, you'll find something that is bothering Moses. He says, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Does that sound like the world we're living in? Everyone doing what they think is right in their own eyes. But God gave these judgments, these statutes, these laws, so that God's people would know His will, so that they would know who He is, so that they would follow His instructions and be blessed. And we find in verse 5 that He wanted a place, a special place. He would choose that place. No one else would choose it. Verse 5 says, "But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place. And there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God." And this is very important. "You shall rejoice." Brothers and sisters, can we rejoice in the presence of the Lord? Yes. I know we come to church sometimes with heavy burdens. Yes. How many of you guys had a long week? Can I see your hands? Oh, yes, it was a long week. How many of you are ready for a nap? I see several hands already going up. You're ready. So make it short, Pastor Sam. Yes. We're hungry, and we haven't slept enough this week. But God says we can rejoice in His presence, yes? And we are to bring these offerings, we are to bring these blessings that we have received from Him just for our own benefit or for the benefit of others? For the benefit of others. I was taken back when I was looking at Deuteronomy, and we're going to skip a few chapters here because there's a lot of instructions for God's people. If you go to verse 22 of chapter 14, Deuteronomy chapter 14, after the clean and unclean meats that are there, important health principles that God is giving His people so that they will be happy, so that they will do well, so that they will prosper. "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where He chooses to make His name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." And if for whatever reason they had too much, and it was hard for them to transport all that they had in tithes, because God had blessed that year. I mean, they had had grain and oil and herds in abundance. Now they had to take all this. They could exchange it into money and bring that with them. And this caught my attention. Verse 28 of that same chapter. "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And look who can participate of it. And the Levite, because he has no portion, no inheritance with you. And the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." Amen? God wanted to bless His people in showing them the importance of being generous, not just to God, but to those who are around us. Deuteronomy chapter 15, I'm going to skip the first few verses. Let's go to verse 7 there. "If there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware, Moses says here, lest there be a wicked thought in your heart saying, the seventh year of release is at hand. That's when all debts were canceled. And the seventh year was just around. And your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Are there poor and needy in our own community, brothers and sisters? Yes? Around your neighborhood? Yes? I was flying back from San Francisco. It was San Francisco, San Diego. And on the plane, there was a finance person. He does research for a hedge fund. He's coming from Germany. He was going to Los Angeles, took the wrong plane. So he's like, wow, I was supposed to land in LA, but this is San Diego, right? Yes. So asked about public transportation. Say, well, there's a train that could take you back. But as we were going to the train station, he noticed around. If you've been to San Diego downtown, you see homeless, yes. And he said, what a contrast. In America, there's a lot, and there's some who have very little. But is this only happening in America? You go to any country. Go to Germany. I was shocked. Some of the homeless, they dress in suits. Why? They want to be invisible. They don't want anybody knowing that they are homeless. They carry their luggage like they're coming from the airport. That's all they have. Is that someone that God died for as well, brothers and sisters? Yes? Is that someone who needs to know about the love of Jesus? That's someone that needs to know how much God loves him. I want to go to the next slide that shares this. People are watching and weighing those who claim to believe the special truths for the time. They are watching to see wherein their life and conduct represent Christ. By humbly and earnestly engaging in the work of doing good to all, God's people will exert an influence that will tell in every town and city where the truth has entered. Next. If all who know the truth will take hold of this work as opportunities are presented, day by day, doing little acts of love in the neighborhood where they live, Christ will be manifest to their neighbors. The gospel will be revealed as a living power and not as cunningly devised fables or idle speculation. It will be revealed as a reality, not the result of imagination or enthusiasm. This will be of more consequence than sermons or professions or creeds. Some people call it a sermon in shoes. Amen? A sermon in shoes. Now we can say we are blessed, yes? We can truly say we are blessed. How many of you have two pairs of shoes in your closet? All right. Yes. How many of you have a car that brought you here today? Yes. We are blessed, brothers and sisters. And what an opportunity God is giving us in these times to be a blessing to someone else. I believe that God was here revealing to Moses instructions for his people as they were to enter the promised land that would reflect who he was. Yes, would reflect his love for humanity. And he wanted his children to also be kind to those who were around them, to be generous to those who were around them. And if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I'm going to close with this chapter. Verse 1 begins the same way as verse chapter 12. Chapter 11, verse 1, same way. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Verse 8. Therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. God wanted his people to be a blessing. Amen? He wanted them to receive in order to give. But more than having a place in Jerusalem where he could call home, where he could call his temple, his sanctuary, God wants to have a place in each one of our hearts. Yes? He wants to dwell where? In our hearts. And in verse 18, I believe that this is how he wanted to share this message with his people. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine. Where, brothers and sisters? In your heart and in your soul. And bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to who? Your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall write them where? On the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of heaven above the earth. Is there a blessing in keeping God's word in our hearts? I have kept your words in my heart so that I may not what? Sin against you. There's nothing good about sin, is there? Brings pain, misery, suffering. But God's word brings what? Peace, courage, faith to do what is right. And that's the invitation. My last quote. We've talked about the church's need. Now we're going to talk about the world's need. Can you press? Thank you. The world will be convinced not so much by what the pulpit teaches. Can I hear an amen? The world will be convinced not so much by what the pulpit teaches as by what the church lives. Amen. The preacher announces the theory of the gospel. But the practical piety of the church demonstrates its power. Amen? If Pastor Sam preaches and preaches and preaches, and people only come to hear, but they don't put into practice practical piety, is it of any service, brothers and sisters? No. But if Pastor Sam or any other pastor comes here and shares with you the Word of God, and you go home and you say, God, how can I put this into practice? In my account, I only have $50. What can $50 do? Can $50 do a lot, brothers and sisters? Just have to ask the little boy with his, what is it? 2 breads and 5 fishes? Yes? 2 loaves of bread? I think that's what it is. He didn't have a lot. But he was willing to share it with who? With Jesus. And Jesus asked his disciples to start sharing what he had blessed. And there was enough to feed how many? How many? 5,000. Only men. Yes, there were also women and children. And at the end, was there enough food for the disciples, brothers and sisters? They got to sit down and eat and enjoy. Because someone was willing to give up their lunch and say, hey, I can share this. I can share this with Jesus. Is it how much we give or is it how we give it? It's how we give it. That's the only thing God is asking. And I believe we have an awesome opportunity in these times in which we're living. Will we see more catastrophes? Will we see more signs? Yes, we will. And many of us are asking ourselves, how, God, can we help 4 million people without electricity in Puerto Rico? How? Well, God will find a way, yes? To use maybe somebody here in Fallbrook, maybe somebody in Loma Linda, maybe somebody in Florida, to find a way to helping those who are in need. And how about those who are here, close by? Will God show us also how we can help them? Does that mean we're going to have to listen carefully? We're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to move us to sympathy? But praise God, if we do that, the church will demonstrate a power that has not been seen in decades. Amen? A power. And that is because it is being moved by the Holy Spirit. It's because Pastor Sam's heart is listening to what the Holy Spirit is calling him, not anybody else, but him to do. Amen? And God will speak to you, yes, and he'll tell you how you can help in a specific situation. And by God's grace, brothers and sisters, we will let people know not only that we have found hope in Jesus Christ, but we will let them know that he is coming again. Yes? And we need to get ready. By God's grace, we will show a power that can only be demonstrated by practical piety as a church comes together, as a church works together, as the church shares what God has shared with them. Amen.